Today's Shir is Masech Baba Basra, Daf Samech Gimel. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yizbarach on Daf Samech Beis, Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom. Vamar Rabba, continue discussing different situations where somebody sells a property to somebody else. When is it effect? When do we have a transaction? What is included and what is not? Vamar Rabba, somebody sold to somebody else the west side of his property, and he held on for himself to the east side of the property. But what he did not delineate clearly in the sale is how much of the west side is sold, how much of the east side is kept. He just put on the borders of the property. So, in other words, he wrote, the west side of this property is being sold to whoever. Says, the east side that's on the, he bought. Hametzer, so the halach is that 50-50. Half of the property will remain, goes to the buyer and half to the seller. But if he wrote, Hametzer ara de mina psika, if he wrote that the property is separated from the rest, the property I'm selling is separated from the rest of the field, so then, as we discussed in our previous year, the amount that's considered the minimal amount of a property is Tisha's Kabin. So all the buyer will get is Tisha Kabin, and the rest the seller keeps. Omalei Abaye. So again, Abaye asked the question, as he did in our previous year, Maishna Hachi or Maishna Hachi, why is there a difference between these two statements? Ishtik. So Rava remains silent. So Sava says the Gemara, Sava Mina. So it says the Gemara, what the Talmidim thought Abaye meant to teach them, what Abaye meant to say, that in both situations that we identified, Idi, in both situations, Palga, we divided 50-50. Says the Gemara Velohi, that's actually not what happened. What Abaye meant to say is that under certain circumstances, it's going to be divided half and half, and at certain circumstances, it will not be so divided. Damar Rav Yemi Bashama, the day Mefarshta Menei Abaye, Abaye taught me, Bein Meitza Arav Demina Palga, Ubein Meitza Arav Demina Psika, in both of these types of terminology, Iyamalei, if the buyer, if it was said in the shtar, Eilin Metzur Noha, if in tap of the saying that this is, and this is what's being sold, the borders of the property were included. So the borders in the property being included represent that you're giving something more, and that's why the property is divided in half between the buyer and the seller, Palga. Loi amalei elam mitzrona, but if those words were not included in the prop, it were not included in the property sale, then in both cases the buyer will receive Tisha Kabin. The Rimigash explains what's the difference if the borders were identified or if the borders were not identified. He says if the borders were identified, it's obvious that what he's trying to do is say that I'm selling you half of the field. And because he mentioned all of the borders for that very purpose. But if he didn't mention the border, then why, if you don't intend to sell the entire field, why was it necessary to mention the borders? The fact that you mentioned the borders is clearly an indication that you wanted to give more. The Rashbam explains that the way we learn the Gemara is somewhat simpler. Whenever you add words that are not necessary, says the Rashbam, it's an indication that you're trying to do something extra. And what we're trying to say here is that what you're trying to do extra is that you're trying to include the a bigger area for the buyer, he's going to get half the field. And along the same lines, I saw other Rishonim suggest, by putting in all of the borders, what you're really showing is that you're trying to extend and expand what you're giving to the what you're selling to the buyer, and therefore, in both cases, the buyer says you'll get half the property. Says the Pshita, it's obvious, and the way we learn the Gemara simple is that the Gemara is speaking here about a shchimera, and a shchimera we know can divide his property. The other Rishonim, the Rashbam actually learns this way, that our Gemara here is speaking not just by a Shchimera, our Gemara here is speaking even by a healthy person as well. And that's the opinion of the Rashba and the Meiri. And because they explain, the Yad Ramah, however, says we're talking only about a Shchimera, because he says the reason with a Shchimera we know is different, as we just said, is Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami. So therefore, the halacha is that he doesn't need to have a kinyan. If we were talking about a regular person, a bari, a healthy person, so a healthy person has to make a kinyan, and that's why it would change the entire complexion of the Gemara. The Rosh actually learns that the Gemara is only speaking about a bari. The Gemara is only speaking about a healthy person, because since there's a halacha, the Divrei Shchimera Kiksuvim Kamsurim Dami, it's obvious that whatever the Shchimera is going to say as we begin this sugya will be this halacha. It's only when we speak about a bari that needs a kinyan, so we see he needs a stronger type of a transaction, that's the question of what happens in our Gemara will be adequate. So says the Gemara Peshitta, it's obvious that if he said, Yechloiki Ployne Ben Chasai, that this individual should get a half, should divide with me my assets. So then, palga. Using the word yachloiku is an indication that he means to give him 50%. However, if he said tenu chelik leploine ben chasai, the question is my. Does the word chelik also represent that he's giving him 50% or not? Amar avina bakisi toshma de tanya. And the Rishonim discuss what is the definition of the bar. The Rashbam says that the bar that's meant here is speaking about a pit of water. And there's some that explain that the Rambam learns it that way, that we're talking here about a pit of wine. So again, Toshma, the Brisa says, the Tanya ha'aymetnu chelik leploini bebar. And again, we don't know what was meant with the word chelik. Does he mean to give him half, or does he mean to give him a certain amount? Sumcha says, ain, the person who's received, the receiver over here, does not get more than, ain pachas mivi, he won't get less than 25%. Because Shumchas' opinion, as we have often in Shas, is that Maman Amotu B'Safek Chalkin. So we have, there's no question that he's not getting less than, that he's getting more than 50%. But the question is, does he get 50% or not? So he says that what Sumcha says is he gets 25%. That there's no question. And then he'll get a little more to cover, because Maman Amotu B'Safek Chalkim, and therefore he'll get 25% plus half of the other 25%. We speak here an opinion that we often speak about when we speak about Simchas. One, Simchas says, as we learned many times, particularly in Masechta Bava Kamma, that Maman Amotu B'Safek Chalkim, and since we don't know, did he mean to give him 50% or 25%, that's why we give him 25 plus 12 and a half. The Rif says that nobody, the way to understand Sumcha's opinion is that at 25%, there's nothing to talk about, because nobody will give less than 25%. So that's why we're only speaking about a portion on top of 25%. Continues the Gemara, continues the Braisa, if somebody said, Tnu leploni me, Tnu leploni lechavis, give him that he should have to feed his animals, ain't pachs mishminas. We give him a little more than an eighth. And the reason is we give a little more than an eighth is because the amount that we put into the pit, into the chavis, is half of what is in a bar. So we say, chelik, when he said, chelik mimei habar lechavis, did he mean that he meant to give him 25%? Or did he mean to give him even less? And therefore we give him half of the 25% plus some more. If he said lekadera, ein pachas mishneim asar, then we don't give him less than a 12th. If he said letfiach, tfiach is like a canteen that they used to have to drink from, ein pachas mishish asar, we don't give him less than a 16th. But based on what we just learned in our Gemara, we see that if somebody says tenu chelik leploni mechsei, we see that the word chelik doesn't necessarily mean 50%, and that's why the Gemara began the discussion. How much does it really mean? Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Ben Levi shemachas adal Yisrael. Ben Levi sells a property to Yisrael. So as long as a Ben Levi has a property, we know that Mais Rishon has to be separated every year. And the Ben Levi says that he wants to leave the Mais Sheni, for the Mais Rishon that has to be given to the Levi every year. He wants to leave it for himself. Now, the Rashbam says that even though the Braisa spoke about a Ben Levi that sold the property to Yisrael, the halacha here isn't limited to a case when a Ben Levi sold a property to Yisrael. Even when a Yisrael sold a property to another Yisrael, so the Yisrael is obviously not going to keep the Ma'aser Rishon for himself, but as we will be discussing, the halacha is that there's a concept of Tavus Hanah, that the person who is separating and giving out the Ma'aser Rishon has a right to choose who should receive that Ma'aser Rishon. So again, the Yisrael is selling his property to someone else, but he wants to stipulate that he should still have the right to choose who's going to get the Ma'aser Rishon. The Rishonim, however, say that the Gemara said that it's more likely that Ben Levi, who actually is going to keep the Ma'aser Rishon, should make this type of stipulation because he's going to have direct benefit. He's going to have direct benefit from this, whereas in other situations, it's not going to be direct benefit. The Gemara Masech the Breich B'chayrus, that Chav Vav Amabez teaches us that a Kohen or a Levi who help in the warehouse where the produce is being processed, and as a condition for helping in the warehouse, they say that they say to this individual, we should get your Trumas and Maestris. The halacha is that we don't accept that type of a situation. It's called Koin HaMessiah Beis Agronis. It's considered a situation where the Koin or the Levi, as we're speaking here, are doing something to receive the Meiser, the Truman of Meiser, and that's prohibited. The Pasuk says on that, says the Gemara, the Shichatam Beis Halevi. And as the Torah says, that the Meiser and Truma that are given to Kohanim Aleviim are given to them Chelef Avodaschem. Because they do the Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, that's why they're entitled to the Truma of Meiser. Not Chelef Scharchem, not as salary. So the question is, how can we make this type of a stipulation? Obviously, when the property is being sold with this type of a stipulation, there's going to be a discount. So why is this permitted? So the Rishonim respond that it's not like the Levi is working for it. The Isser of Kohen HaMessiah Bebeis HaGronus, then that is an Isser that one is not allowed to work to get Meiser. He's not working to get Meiser. And therefore, since he's not working to get the Meiser, the halacha is that that's not a violation of that. Of course, as we learn this Gemara, we need to understand that how is such a stipulation permissible? And as the Gemara is going to say, what happens over here that he doesn't mean to keep the, he doesn't mean to actually keep the mice of produce. What he's doing is he's retaining the right to receive the miser. So, as the Rosh explains, this is not to be understood as a tanai. It's to be understood as a shiur. What it means to say is that the reason what happens is but it's the Levi is retaining the right that of the Toivus Hanoah that we said before that the owner has the right to choose, the owner of the produce has the right to choose which Levi should receive the Maiserishin. That right is being held on to the Levi. And the wording, says the Rishonim of the Gemara, is very much leads to that. Because he says, Amanas Shemaisa Shali. He didn't use the words Amanas Shetiten Liyasa Maiser, but rather, Amanas Shemaisa Shali. That means I'm holding on, I want to retain the right that you should give it. The question is that the Rishonim ask, how could now, while happiness, the Levi is getting a certain percentage of the field from which the mice is being taken. The rest of the field is mine. So I have to take my separate miser? But now that we learned that it's not that the Levi is retaining ownership of the field. The Levi is certainly not retaining ownership of the field. Rather, what's happening over here is that the Levi is just getting the Toivus Hanoah. So that means since the Levi is getting the Toivus Hanoah, then the field is all mine. And that's why when I give the Levi the Maiserishin, what I am properly doing is giving Maiser on the entire field. So says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Ben Levi Shemach Sadu Yisrael, Vamaloi, and he said, Amnas Maiserishin Shali, the halach is Maiserishin Shaloi, the Levi gets the Maiserishin. Vim Amaloi, if the way it was identified, he says, Li Ulabonai, it should be given to my children. So the halach is Mace. So if the Levi who made this stipulation passes away, the halacha is that it goes Yitein Labanav, we should give it to his children. So the Rishonim ask, it's the Gemara, and again, very much the way we're learning the Gemara makes a lot of sense. The fact that he said Yitein Labanav, that is the reason, and that is the only reason why the Gemara says we pass on this right to his children. But why is that necessary? Doesn't a right that I have always go on to my children? Why is it necessary for him to say Liu Labonai that it should go on to the children? So if we learn the Gemara the way we're learning the Gemara, that it's not that he's retaining ownership in the field. Indeed, were he to retain ownership in the field, then the question would be a very strong question. Ownership, Yerusha, always passes on from father to son. And we don't need the Gemara to make us, we don't need a special stipulation to make that be the case. But rather here we're speaking about a situation that is only keeping the Toivus Hanoah. Since he's only keeping the Toivus Hanoah, so maybe we would think that the Toivus Hanoah doesn't pass on further. That's what our Gemara is teaching us, that's why the Gemara is teaching us that it does pass on further, because he stipulated so. Im Amaloi, if he said to him, Kosmanser Soda Zubiyotcha. They said the Levi, who's selling the field, says to the seller that this stipulation is relevant. Kosman Shasada Zubiyotcha, as long as this field is with you, Machra. So if the seller sells it, and then V'chaza V'lakha, and then he purchases it back, Ein Le'olav Klum, under those circumstances, the Levi lost his right. Because once it was sold further, so that obligation did not travel further, and therefore, the halach is that it could go back. But ask the Gemara, why is this acceptable? Amai, why would we consider this transaction a legitimate transaction? Don't we have halacha throughout Shas that ain't other makna, davar shelo b'olam? Something that doesn't exist, we can't sell. So then the Rishonim give many reasons why we say ain't other makna, davar shelo b'olam. Namukhi Yosef, Masechet Bava Metzia, explains because we need for a kinyan to be considered a valid kinyan, we have to have gemiras das. And the Mukhi Yosef explains that something that doesn't exist yet, there is no gemiras das. The Tashbatz says differently. He says it's much more fundamental. If something doesn't exist, you can't do transactions on something that doesn't exist. The question that Tosfos asks is that throughout Shas, we have the opinion of Rameya. And the opinion of Rameya is that Adam makna davar shelo b'olam, that you can do transactions on things that don't exist. So why don't we just say that this halacha here is following the opinion of Rameya. So the Rishonim answer that when does Rameya say that you could do a transaction on davar shelo b'olam, that's only where I sold the fruits of a tree that haven't yet emerged. Because the tree is already here. So part of what I'm selling already exists. But what I'm selling doesn't have any existence at all. The miser that was being spoken about here is not in existence. There we don't say Adam Makna Davar Shelo B'olam. The Rabbeinu Yitzchak gives a different explanation. That even Rameya, who is of the opinion, as we just learned, that you could sell a davar shelo b'olam. When does Rameya say that you could sell a davar shelo, that you could sell something that's shelo b'olam? He says it that the transaction is being done between people who are already b'olam. The halacha of ein adam makna davar shelo b'olam is speaking about the what, but Rameya will agree that if the who, if the person to whom I'm selling this davar shelo b'olam doesn't yet exist, even Rameya will agree that that's not a legitimate transaction. And here, he said Labonai, and was saying that the Bonai, the son that it's being sold to, isn't alive yet. And therefore, in such a situation, even Rameya would agree that it's not a valid sale. And as the Rabbeinu Yoina says, that along the line that we're learning, especially in the case that we're learning here, where you're not selling an actual existing thing, where you're selling a right, and the Gemara's question is that if you can't sell something, even though you could identify what you mean to sell, if it doesn't exist, certainly then you can't sell something, a mere right that hasn't yet come into play. Answers the Gemara. Kimid Amalei, since when this sale was done, the way it was articulated, Amas Maisurishin Shali, they said that the Maisurishin Shemi, so what he meant to say, as we said earlier, Ashure Shire Lamaka Maisur. He left over the place of the Maisur. So the Posh Pshar in the Gemara is that the field produces 10%. There's a certain portion of the field that produces the 10% that you have to give for Maisurishin, and he's keeping that part for himself, and that part of the field is still there. However, it's difficult to explain the Gemara that way. Because if we're going to explain the Gemara that way, the questions that we spoke about earlier come back. So then that part of the field is still the Levites. The rest of the field becomes the sellers. And how could that portion be used for Maisa, for the part that the seller is not keeping? So the Rashbam explains that what he means to say is, as we keep on saying, all he means to sell is just the Toivus Hanor. But even though he used just the Toivus Hanor, by using that the Mokka Meiser, that strengthens the sale. And therefore, since it strengthens, and this is the concept that we've been discussing throughout our shir, is that when you use extra wording, the extra wording is interpreted to mean something, and that's what it means here. It means to strengthen the sale. And the way I think we can help understand this is we just finished learning there's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh. The Aruch Chaim is in Parshas Toldos, where Yaakov and Esav, and Yaakov is buying the Bechayra from Esav, and the Pasuk says, V'yoyme Yaakov, Michr Kayoim es Bechoros Chali. And the question is, why does the Torah mean with the words Michr Kayoim? What do we learn from the word Kayoim? So, says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, when we think about that entire transaction that took place between Yaakov and Esav, there's a fundamental question. It's a davar shel ba'olam. The Vechaira wasn't relevant at that time. So why was it a valid sale? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says that the Shulchan Aruch HaKadosh Mishpat Siman Reshit Aleph Sif Beis says that let's say you have a person who unfortunately is poor and he needs money to give his family for breakfast, and he sends to somebody that I'm going hunting today, I'm going fishing today, and everything that I'm going to catch as I hunt or fish today, I'm selling to you. And the question is, that should, at first glance, certainly not be considered a valid transaction. It's a davar shel ba'olam. He hasn't even gone out yet to fish or to hunt. Yet the Shulchan Aruch says it's considered a valid transaction. And the reason why it's considered a valid transaction is because this person is so in need of the funds that he's going to get for selling what he's going to catch, even though it's a davar shel ba'olam, that it's a valid kinyan. And what's meant with that is that because as we said before, the reason why ain adam mak the davar shel ba'olam is because selling something that you don't have is not a real kinyan. You can't have gemiras das, as we often say in our shiurim. The whole purpose of a kinyan, the whole purpose why the Chazal teach us so often in Shas, that every transaction has to be accompanied with a kinyan in order to make it into a valid transaction, is because the kinyan, the act of kinyan, is what shows us that there's a seriousness here. You can't have seriousness when something doesn't exist. But if Rahman Lutzlan, the person who's selling what he's selling is desperate, then he could sell even something that's a davar shel ba'olam, because there's a seriousness of intent. That's why the Shulchan Aruch says that the poor person could sell what he doesn't yet even have, because he's going out hunting, fishing later in the day. Says the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, that's exactly what happened between Esav and Yaakov. Esav was desperate. He came home v'hu ayif, and he's desperate, he's hungry. And when he's desperate, even though it was a davar shel ba'olam, but we look at kiyoim, we look at his situation, how he looked now, here, today. And that's why it's considered a valid transaction, even a davar shel ba'olam. So our Gemara is teaching us that when somebody is selling something, and he added the extra words that don't really need to be in the shtar, what that's showing is that he's 100% serious about the sale, even in a situation where it's a davishalai b'olam. The Gemara said that if somebody said that kozman shasadza biyatcha, then if he sold this right, and then the seller sells the property, even if he buys back the property, the halacha is that then he doesn't have this obligation. The Ran in Masechet Ksubos quotes a Rashba that uses this Gemara to teach us the following halacha. Somebody married a woman, a second marriage, that this woman had a daughter, and he wrote in the shtar, Kozman Shat Imi, as long as we're married, I have to support your daughter. The halacha is, what happens if they get divorced? And then they get remarried. So says the Ran, in the name of the Rashba, that he doesn't have to support the daughter if they get remarried. And he uses our Gemara as the proof. Because our Gemara is saying that even though they had this agreement amongst themselves, the agreement expires if he sells the property, even though he actually brought it back. The Rush also says this is the halacha, but the Rush doesn't use our Gemara's Araya. And the Shaul Tshuva's Shara Ephraim asks, that isn't our Gemara a perfect raya to this Gemara and to this halacha? So why doesn't he use our Gemara as a raya? Why doesn't the Rosh use our Gemara as a raya to this halacha? So says the Shara Ephraim that the two cases are not the same, because the halacha is that if I sell the property and I sell the property with the stipulation the Levi will continue getting the Maaser Rishon. And now I sell that property. So obviously, when I sell that property, I can't in any way force my buyer to give this Levi the Maaser Rishon. And therefore, the sale represents a termination of the agreement. When somebody obligates himself to support his wife's daughter, he can continue. So that I can't give my Sarisha from a field that I no longer own. If I'll decide to give the Levi whatever he got every year representing the 10%, I could do so if I want, but it won't be my Sarisha. But when somebody marries a woman and he undertakes the obligation to support her daughter, and then they get divorced, he can continue supporting that daughter. So the cases are very different. By my Sarisha, once the buyer sells the field, he can't give Maaser Rishon. That's why the halacha is that if he buys it back, it's an entirely new situation. But supporting the daughter can continue. Since supporting the daughter can continue, that's why it's not the same. The Mefarshim ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Torah gives Aaron and his children the right to the Matnas Kohuna. And the question is, when that was given to them, it was a davar shel b'olam. All of the circumstances under which we give truma ma'aser only apply once we're in Eretz Yisrael. This was done long before we were in Eretz Yisrael. How could it be valid if we're learning in our Gemara, ein adam mak the davar shel b'olam? Says the Panim Yafis that our Gemara is, so if we learn like our Gemara, where it shows, and again, I think this is what the Panim Yafis means. He says as follows: what is the reason, as we keep on repeating, why ain't other makta davar shel b'olam? Why a transaction is not valid on something that doesn't exist? Because there's no gemira stas. You can't make a real stipulation on something that you don't yet have, that something doesn't yet exist in the world. Says the Panim Yafis, that's when we have two human beings. So two people who are doing a transaction with each other. So there we could suggest, there we understand, nobody knows for certain what's going to be. But here, when who gave the Kohanim the Matnas Kunim? It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no such a consideration. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something will be, it will certainly be. And therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu could be makna davar shelo b'loilam. One more very interesting point that the Paiskim discussed based on our Gemara. The Shaz of Tshuva Stivri Chaim was asked in a situation where somebody sold property. He had a big property and he sold off part of the property, but he wrote that the property that is being sold cannot be used to make a bar. They used to have bars very often in those days. And the question is, he made such a stipulation. What happened was, the person who bought that property, sold the property to someone else, and now the second buyer, wants to make bar there. And the question is, what is the halacha? The Rechayim says that under normal circumstances, you can't retain that. He asks, that Al Gemara was saying that you can retain rights. So again, if we follow the approach that we're learning in Al Gemara, that it's a special halacha in Al Gemara because of the Tovus Hanoah, so then you can't compare any of these cases to this case. And therefore, the Rechayim says that if the Minig HaMedina is that if the law is that such a stipulation is valid, then the stipulation needs to be honored. But if there is no such halacha, if there's no rule that the stipulation is valid, then it's not. And again, using our Gemara can't be an example. We spoke earlier in our shir about the concept of Koyin HaMasai Beis Agronos, that you're not allowed to have a Koyin help in working, and for that he'll get paid with getting the Truma, the Meiser, etc. The question that I saw the Paiskim discuss is that we know that when we have a Pinyan HaBen, the Koyin gets the 5 coins. Now many Kohanim are anxious to be the Koyin chosen for the Pinyan HaBen, and they're not anxious, they don't need to have the coins. So what will happen if a Koyin will approach a father who just had a baby and has to make a Pinyan HaBen? And he says to this father, choose me to be the Koyin for the Pinyan HaBen, and what you'll get in return is that I'm going to give you back the 5 coins. So he says it's certainly inappropriate. He says the Shevet HaLevi, Paskins, that it's certainly inappropriate. This is in Chayla Gimel, Simon Kufnon Gimel. But he says if it was done, the halacha would be that the Pinyan HaBen is still considered a valid pinyan. The question really hinges on a number of points. First of all, the question is there an isser of Koyin HaMasai Beis Agronos by Pinyan HaBen? The Gra in Shulchan Aruch, Yerodei Simen Shin Hei, Sifkatan Yud Gimel, says that there is no isser of Koyin HaMasayeya Beis Agronos. The other Paiskim say that there is a Koyin HaMasayeya Beis Agronos, but it's not clear that this is considered a Koyin HaMasayeya Beis Agronos. Koyin HaMasayeya Beis Agronos is, as we said earlier in the shir, where the Koyin worked for it. Here the Koyin isn't really doing any work to receive it, and therefore it's not necessarily considered a case of Koyin HaMasayeya Beis Agronos. Amar Reish Lakish continues the Gemara Zois Emeris, that from what we learned in the Braisa, we have been learning that he kept for himself a place in this field, that the halacha will be, if somebody sells a home to somebody else, and he said, the roof will be mine. The halach is, he keeps the roof. Says the Gemara, what was Reish Lakish trying to say? And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, we go back to the beginning of the Perek. As we began our Perek, the Perek taught us that the roof if it has a fence that's 10 tefachim tall, remains with the seller. So why here was it necessary to be articulated? Answers the Gemara, Rezvir Amar, what Rish Lakish means to teach us, Imratzul Haitzi Zizin, what he meant to say is that the seller is retaining the roof, but not only is he retaining the roof, but Imratzul Haitzi Zizin, if he wants to extend ledges from that roof, he would may too. If we wouldn't have had the Tanai, then he would only be able to keep the roof. But going back to the concept that we keep on repeating in our shir, and that is the concept that if somebody adds words, since somebody adds words, they mean something. So what these words mean to say is that he could keep that he could also extend ledge from the roof. Rapapa says what it means to teach us is that Mrotza Livnois Aliyah Al Gababoina. What he wants to say is that if he wants to build another floor on top of this roof, he may do so. And what it means is that only if he had not said that, so indeed the roof would remain his. But by saying these extra words, it gives him the right to build of extra floor on top of the roof. Says the Gemara, Bishlam al-Razvid, according to Razvid, that it gives him the right to take out the Zizim, Hani Natani Zois Ameris. That's what Rish Lakish meant to say, Zois Ameris, that the extra wording that he used gives him the right to put out the Zizim. But ask the Gemara, Ella Rapapa, according to Rapapa, it only gives him the right that if it falls down to rebuild it, my Zois Ameris. And it's the Gemara Kasha. And the Rashbam says that a very important rule. And the Rashbam says that when the Gemara says the word Rashbam, Kasha, rather than the word Tiyufta, it means that there's an answer to the question. There are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say the difference between the word Kasha and Tiyufta is what type of a question. If the question is from a Mishnah or a Braisa, and there's no answer, the Gemara uses the word Tiyufta. When the question is from what an Amira said, the halacha there is that the sale include the Gemara used the word Kasha. The Paiskim discuss a situation if somebody sold an apartment, a first floor apartment. What is the halacha regarding what's under the apartment? Does it belong to the seller or to the buyer? And the Paiskim say that all of the discussions which we're going to have in our Gemara about such situations don't apply bismanazer. They don't apply bismanazer. In bismanazer, what's sold, everything that is included is sold, and there's nothing retained by the seller. Amar Rav Dimi Meador, Haman Demazim Beis L'Chaveri. If somebody sells property to someone else, after the kasale, even though in the shtar it says umka veruma, that he's selling the height and the depth, if he wants to be able to retain more than that, tzarech lemichtav lei kani lemetayim ara v'adrem rikia. You have to write everything. My tama, what is the reason that you have to write mitayim ara v'adrem rikia? Says the Gemara, the umka veruma, when you write just umka veruma, bestama, without just writing that, lekani, the buyer will not get all the attached parts to the property. Only by ahani umka rova, lemekni umka veroima. All that helps is that you'll get what's under the house and that's on top of the house. But by writing the time arva trumakira, that will accomplish the lamikni that the buyer will buy, something that we're going to be discussing extensively in our coming shiurim, a bar of adas mechilas, different pits or tunnels that are in that property. How will they be all included in the sale? By adding these extra words. There is a question that I saw that the Rishonim debate. If we're saying that in order to buy all these extra parts in the field, you have to add the words mitahim ara vedram rikia. What does that mean? You have to add those words. doesn't mean that you have to write umka veruma. And on top of writing umka veruma, you also have to write metayim arva drayim rikia. Or is the halacha that once you wrote this more general wording of metayim arva drayim rikia, then it's not necessary to write umka veruma. Everything is included in the words with time arva drayim rikia. Lema masayle. So let's bring a raya from what we're going to learn that the Mishnah taught us, v'loya sabar v'sadas, that the bar and das are not included in the sale, api shekos v'loy umka veruma. Ask the Gemara, v'salkadatach, bestama. And if you didn't write anything, the umka veruma, kani umka veruma, the umka veruma are included, so lani umka veruma, so then the umka veruma become superfluous words. If they become superfluous words, so the words umka veruma should be there to teach us that he gets the bar v'dos mechilas. Why was it necessary to write metahim rabba? Answers the Gemara that we're going to explain the Mishnah, the loy kosov lay umka v'goy v'shal ba'ayis machalach. So you didn't write those words, that's why they're not included. But ask them, how can we learn the Mishnah that way? For the Bryce, the Mishnah clearly said, apish kosov l'ktani, and still the bar v'dos are not included. Hach kami. Says the Gemara, this is the way to understand. Abish loy kosov lo, even though you didn't write umka veruma, it's kamesh kosov dummy. It's as if it was right included. Lemikni umka veruma. Lemikni mar v'das, but if mechil is to get that, e kosov loy, if you wrote umka veruma, which is superfluous, then kani, then it'll be enough. If you loy kosov loy kani. But if you didn't write umka veruma, so even though the umka veruma is included, but by not writing umka veruma, that's why it's not included.